All right, good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the second meeting of the PCOB's Investor Advisory Group. I want to thank all the members for participating and donating your time and expertise to this group. I especially want to thank SEC Chairman Mary Shapiro for attending, and also Jim Croker, your chief accountant, and Mike Starr and Brian Croteau. Chairman Shapiro, we all know how valuable your time is, and your presence today means a tremendous amount to us. I know you will only be here, be able to stay until 11:45. 11:15, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
First mistake.
My 12 o'clock appointment. 11:10.
But the fact that you would take time out to attend today's meeting in order to hear directly from this advisory group is a reminder that protecting the interest of investors is at the heart of everything the SEC and the board do. I also know that you have testified six times before Congress since February, including yesterday before the House Appropriations Committee on the SEC's budget, twice last week, and three other times since mid-February, and that the Dodd-Frank Act mandates over 100 rulemakings and requires you to conduct over 20 studies. So once again, thank you for coming and for your leadership of the SEC during these highly challenging times. And at one point, I think there was some forces here in town who wanted to do away with the SEC, and you certainly won that battle. So congratulations. Achieving the best results for investors often requires that the board work closely with the commission, and particularly with Jim Croker and his office, and we appreciate the cooperative relationship that has developed between our two organizations. The auditors regulated by the board have a clear mandate to protect investors, which comes from the statutory franchise granted by Congress to the accounting profession in the 1930s to audit the financial statements of U.S. publicly traded companies. The United States Supreme Court reminded auditors that this, quote, public watchdog function demands that they maintain total independence from the client at all times and requires complete fidelity to the public trust. And I would stress that those words, total independence, come right from the Supreme Court. The board in turn has an equally clear mandate, which is stated in the very first words of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, quote, an act to protect investors by improving the accuracy and reliability of corporate disclosures made pursuant to the securities laws, close quote. And the very first section of Title I of the Act states that there is established the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board to oversee the audit of companies, once again, to protect the interest of investors in the preparation of informative, accurate, and independent audit reports. So hearing from this group and other investor representatives is vital to the board and the account auditing profession successfully fulfilling their statutory mandates. In my opinion, Chairman Shapiro, you foresaw much of what is on our agenda today in your speech before the AICPA last year on December 6, 2010, when you not only recognized the critical role played by accountants in our capital markets, but you queried whether, quote, questions could have been asked early on by preparers and auditors, or if warning flags were simply ignored. And you went on, we wonder if the eventual losses to shareholders and investors were multiplied many times because material information was not made available in a timely fashion by people who should have been able to produce accurate disclosures. Our investor advisory group will be discussing those issues, among others, today. Before turning to the schedule, I would like to recognize at the outset our new chairman, Jim Doty, and then you, Chairman Shapiro, for any brief remarks you would each like to make, and then I will recognize our former chairman, Dan Geltzer, and our other new board members, Lou Ferguson and Jay Hansen. And afterwards, I would like all members at the table to introduce themselves, and then we will get on with today's program. Chairman Doty.
Thank you, Steve. First, let me thank you for the leadership you've shown in forming this group and getting us all together. I also want to thank Jim Croker, Mike Starr, Brian Croteau, and staff of the Commission for the extraordinary support they've already shown us and the help they've given us on a number of areas, including getting out the China research that we've done earlier this week, and it's been a great help. And finally, Chairman Shapiro. I have watched Chairman Shapiro's career over a significant period of time, And the lesson I have taken away from it is that everything she does and everything she touches, she gets involved in to make a difference. She's made an enormous difference at every post she has held. And it has taught me that you don't do something like this unless you intend to make a difference. It is our purpose in serving on this board, and I speak, I know, for every board member, that we intend to make a difference, a positive difference, in the grave issues that face us in our securities regime. It is also something we hear a lot about at this time in terms of burnout and cynicism. Where I come from, there are a lot of people talking about burnout. Burnout is usually a product of cynicism and boredom and a doubt that what you're doing does make a difference. And I'm here to tell you that among the staff members of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board who line this wall and sit behind me, there is no burnout. I have been to the offices. We are going to the offices of the board. I'm impressed by the fact that there is tremendous incentive to do the job and get on with the job of the board. There is tremendous commitment to the mission of the board and enthusiasm about what they can do by way of making a difference. With that said, I would just say we have a statement that is before you and is available, and it underscores the fact that we think that a number of the issues we'll be talking about today are not remote academic projects of the board. They are eminent interests. We want to hear from you about the role of auditors in the global financial crisis, what you think the perception of the audit profession and what was done or not done in the audit profession during those events should signify to us. We are going to be taking up imminently proposals about the role of the auditor in the process and the audit report, the form and content of the auditor's report. What auditors say about what they do is of great interest to us. It is also clear that in the global firm, there are issues that are quite imminent. It is a matter of clear concern to us that often there is not appreciation of who does what work and what lies underneath the report of the auditor. All these are areas in which I may say that I think the presence of the firms that are here today exhibit, among other things, a real recognition that these are issues and that we are not going to return to a regime in which they are simply ignored. I think the profession itself sees that imminent change is on the way, that it has to be significant, and that there must be things done to preserve the health of our financial reporting system. In the global network, we have issues abroad. We are very encouraged by the fact that we are going to be reinstituting inspections in the UK. We believe that we are on the cusp of having entrance into other countries on the continent of Europe that will be meaningful and will give our investors an insight into the quality and the credibility of audits. And as you know, we are absolutely convinced that before the Chinese can hope to have the kind of credibility in their own financial system that investors expect long-term, there must be a way of distinguishing among audits in that regime, and at the present time, there's no way of anyone knowing whether an audit that comes out of a Chinese company is a good audit or a bad audit, and that has to change. So there are a number of issues, both domestic and international, that are before us, and I can only tell you that they will be moving forward on an imminent schedule and not a remote schedule with the help and with the collaboration of the SEC. And with that, I would turn it over to Chairman Shapiro.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's a real pleasure for me to be here. I want to thank both Jim and Steve for your very kind words of introduction. I'm particularly happy to be here today as you look at the lessons of the past and determine what role auditors ought to be playing in a global financial future. But I'm, I think, most happy to be here because it's the first time since the Supreme Court ended the uncertainty over the PCAOB's future that I've been able to be with all of you. And I think that the seating of Jim Doty and board members Lou Ferguson and Jay Hansen was really a very important event, and not just for the organization, but obviously for all investors. So I'm really thrilled to be here with all of you. I also want to thank Steve Harris and Dan Gelzer for your tremendous leadership during what was clearly a time of uncertainty at a minimum. but one where you kept the organization moving forward. And I think we're all extremely grateful to both of you for your enormous efforts. As you focus today on issues of importance to every investor, it's really comforting to me to know that the board shares my commitment to ensuring that the information on which investors are making their decisions is accurate and in compliance with the federal securities laws. I also want to thank the members of the Investor Advisory Group for the time and the energy and the commitment I know that you put into your work here and into the effort to better inform and protect investors. The recent financial crisis, I think, underscored the need for preparers, for boards, for auditors and regulators to be vigilant about performing their duties, particularly during times of stress. And it's critical that the SEC and the PCAOB learn from that crisis and determine ways to help prevent or at least to mitigate another one. For example, we need to be asking such things as, do financial reporting and audits provide investors with sufficient information for their investment decisions? And can auditor performance under current standards be improved, or do the standards themselves need to be revisited? Suggestions for addressing these key issues in the wake of the financial crisis are being discussed all around the world today, and I think that today's discussion will make a very important contribution to that larger debate. We need to look ahead, though, as well as learning from the past, and today I think you'll consider two issues important to future investors and auditors alike. The first is, what should go into the auditor's report? Today we would like to know what useful information you feel is missing from the auditor's report, and areas where additional input from auditors could add useful transparency. And we'd also like to hear your thoughts regarding who should provide this information, auditors through their reports, management through additional disclosures, or the audit committee. And second, we simply do not have all the information we need to evaluate audit quality, as Jim was just referencing, in some countries, despite the fact that companies from those countries are accessing the U.S. capital markets. The SEC and the PCAOB are working with other regulators to resolve some of these issues, and I am delighted that the PCAOB has reached an agreement with its UK counterpart to be able to resume inspections there. And I do hope that this agreement will form the basis for future cooperation in the UK on oversight and enforcement, and the basis for the PCAOB reaching similar agreements with other jurisdictions in the near term. Today, I'd also be interested to hear your views as to what else can be done to further improve audit quality around the world. For example, are there particular insights into accounting firms that would be useful? If so, what are those insights, and what is their relationship to audit quality? And what specifically can the accounting and auditing profession do to increase auditor objectivity and to maintain and really foster and grow the public's trust and confidence? Just let me conclude by saying that we all share this enormous commitment to investor protection and an interest in discussions like this. I completely agree with Jim. You don't do things like this unless you think you can make a difference, and I think we're very much poised to do that. And so while I won't be with you for the whole meeting today, I'll be here till 11:15 so I can get back to the office by noon. Jim Croker, our chief accountant, will be here, and he'll participate all day in the discussions. And so I will catch up with him later on anything that I might have missed. And I want to thank you again for letting me join you today, and thank the advisory committee members and all of you for your commitment. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Shapiro. Dan?
Thank you, Steve. First, I just want to join my colleagues in welcoming the members of the Investor Advisory Group to today's 2011 meeting of the IAG. As Steve noted in his comments, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act created the PCAOB to protect the interests of investors and further the public interest in the preparation of informative, fair, and independent audit reports and reliable financial reporting. Despite that, integrating the needs and goals of investors into our work is sometimes a challenge. We often hear directly from accounting firms and from preparers of financial statements. However, we receive much less input from the intended beneficiaries, that is, investors. This advisory group is one of the ways that we try to rebalance the scales. I also want to join Steve and Jim in thanking Chairman Shapiro, and SEC Chief Accountant Jim Croker, Deputy Chief Accountant Mike Starr, and Brian Croto for being with us this morning. The board's role in furthering investor interest in reliable financial reporting is just a subset of the Commission's much broader investor protection mandate.
Chairman Shapiro, I know how great the demands are on your time and attention, and I appreciate your support for the board's work and certainly your support for this advisory committee's mission. I think it would be remiss if I didn't also underscore that this meeting wouldn't be taking place if it weren't for Steve Harris's commitment to the success of the advisory group. Since joining the board more than 2 years ago, Steve has made it a crusade to ensure that the board does everything it can to make investor views part of our decision-making. The IAG is certainly one of the tangible results of Steve's efforts. The three topics on the advisory committee's agenda today are the audit-related lessons of the financial crisis, possible changes in the nature and scope of the auditor's report, and the implications of global networks for audit firm governance. Each of these raise key issues to the board's work and can certainly occupy the entire day, probably more than that. I'd just like to say that I'm especially interested in the group's views on changes to the reporting model, that is, whether we should be asking auditors to provide more information than appears in the traditional standardized audit opinion, and if so, how the auditor's communications with financial statement users should expand. The board has begun a project in this area and will be discussing it at a public board meeting next week. There's certainly considerable investor hunger for more insight from the auditor regarding both the audit process and the qualitative aspects of company financial reporting. However, going beyond the time-honored pass-fail audit report would raise some challenging issues. It could potentially be a fundamental change in the auditor's role and could have far-reaching implications for the nature and extent of the audit work performed underlying the report. The advisory group's ideas about how we should go forward with this complex and important project will be, I think, particularly valuable. Thank you, and I'm certainly looking forward to the discussion today.
Thank you very much, Dan, and for the kind remarks. Lou?
Doesn't stop. There it goes. Well, thank you, Steve. I just want to say how delighted I am to be with you all here, and that I feel very pleased and honored that all of you, Chairman Shapiro and the rest of you, would take your time to spend with us, because this is very important. What you do for us, I think, is a tremendously important thing for the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. What's exciting about being on the board right now is that this is a time of extraordinarily and really unprecedentedly rapid evolution in the financial system, in not just in the United States, but in the world, in financial accounting standards and in auditing standards. And given the fact that our primary mission, as everyone up here has said, is the protection of investors, trying to find what is relevant and what is useful to investors in a new and changing environment is something that is one of our main focuses. And this is what I hope to learn from you all today. What can we be doing? What should we be looking at that will be relevant to, useful and helpful to investors? And how do we change these standards in ways that really make information more valuable to investors? So I'm delighted to be here. Thank you, Steve.
Good morning, everyone. Also echo the comments from my fellow board members. Very pleased to be here and happy to have all of you here and happy to have Chairman Shapiro here as well. Clearly, we've heard the messages that you all have been reciting that you need more as an investor representatives than what you're getting right now. And to echo Chairman Shapiro's comments and questions about who is the best party to give you that information, I'm really kind of anxious to hear some of the thought process behind that. And clearly, the discussion about the role of the auditor, since I come from an auditor background, is really intriguing to me, because I know what I grew up doing and how the firm structures are organized about what auditors do. And if the role is evolving, that's going to be significant behavioral changes that need to happen in the auditing profession, which is going to be a significant challenge. One of the perspectives that I bring to the board from a career in public accounting is helping them understand that the needs of investors, sadly, is not necessarily in the Constitution. institution of an auditor because it's not really focused on throughout an auditor's career. There's no doubt in my mind that the leaders of the firms have all have the needs of investors in their minds and are trying to effectuate the changes in the firms, but that's it's a long-term process. And one of the personal reflections I have about the changes that I've come to realize in the last few years are necessary is most auditors throughout their careers don't hear from investors, so they don't hear the passion behind the information that you need and why you need it. And so I think there's a lot of outreach that all of you can help with the auditors and the firms to help them understand down to a fairly granular level and with the staff coming up through their careers to so they can better keep it in mind that what they do matters to you. That's the unfortunate loss of the line of sight to the ultimate user of the work of an auditor that is missed sometimes. And so I think there's a lot of behavioral changes that we know we need to work on with the auditing profession, and I think this is a really good start to help us understand better what your needs are. And also, I'll be curious, today might not be the forum for it, but we always talk about cost-benefit. And it'll be easy to measure the cost of additional work that auditors might do or report. The benefit is a little more elusive to measure that benefit. So I'll be curious to hear your thoughts on the cost-benefit part of the challenges that we're facing as well. With that, Steve?
And then, Norman, if we could start with you, maybe very, very briefly, all the Investor Advisory Group members could introduce themselves, and then we'll get started.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, my name is Norman Harrison. First, congratulations, Chairman Doty and the new board members. Chairman Shapiro, always a great pleasure to be with you. Very briefly, my entire career in one form or another has revolved around the capital markets as a corporate attorney, investment banker, more recently as a principal in the investment advisory firm of Breeden Partners, where I've had responsibility for our compliance and oversight regulatory matters. And bring that variety of perspectives to this task. And great pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you.
Okay, let me try that. No, it doesn't work anymore.
Anyway, I'm Tony Sonley, and I run a financial consulting firm, and all of my work involves the use of financial accounting information. So I've always been interested in it from that perspective, and I'm very happy to be here, and welcome to the new members and the new chair. It's good to see you.
It works, and I was with the commission for 20 years, and I've been on the bench for 14 years. And I've always been interested in this field, and I congratulate the PCAOB for having this, and for Steve Harris. I think this is going to be very productive.
I'm Damon Silvers. I'm the policy director and special counsel to the president of the AFL-CIO, and I'm very pleased to be here with all these people who do such great work. Thank you.
Lynn Turner, I too was at the commission, including the time when Chairman Shapiro was Commissioner Shapiro and a wonderful person to work with. I currently serve on the board of the Colorado Public Pension Fund.
Mike Starr, Deputy Chief Accountant for Policy in the Office of the Chief Accountant, and I'm also pleased to be here.
Good morning. My name is Robert Tarola. What I bring to the group is experience as a public company auditor, a public company CFO, and now a public company director and audit committee member, both with a public operating company and with investment companies. So pleased to be here and look forward to the dialogue.
I'm Joe Costello. I'm a professor of accounting at the University of Tennessee and director of research for our Corporate Governance Center. And in addition to being on this group, I have the pleasure and honor of being on the SAG.
Hi, I'm Barb Roper with Consumer Federation of America, and I'm sure I'll be pleased to be here once I get another cup of coffee.
Brandon Becker, Executive Vice President and Chief Legal Officer of TIA-CREF. I was formerly at the Commission and at WilmerHale after that. As you know, we rely upon financial statements and the information therein, so we welcome the efforts of the chairs and in particularly Steve's efforts over these past many months to basically successfully herd cats. So thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Ann Yerger with the Council of Institutional Investors, and I'll add my voice to the choir. I'm very happy to be here, and we thank you for all the work you're doing on behalf of investors.
Good morning. Jim Croker, SEC Chief Accountant. Special thanks to Chairman Doty and Steve for inviting us today. We're extremely excited about continuing our collaborative relationship with the board and look forward to the discussion today. I think there is much that can be done to improve the system that we operate in.
Good morning. I'm Gus Sauter. I'm Chief Investment Officer of the Vanguard Group. I'm excited to be a member of the IAG, representing 10 million investors for whom we invest money, and very interested in the outcome here because it's very important to us to be able to invest that money well.
Good morning. I'm Ann Simpson. I'm Senior Portfolio Manager at CalPERS, which is the largest public fund. Thank you for inviting us to participate in this group. CalPERS lost something in the order of $70 billion because of the crisis. And those companies at the heart of it all had clean accounts, and auditors' reports were almost identical. And the price was rising of the audit, and there were lots of initiatives to try to improve the quality. So we really don't feel we've got to the bottom of this, and it's very important that this group is willing to go right back to basics, look at some of the international debates, and not just think that we're tinkering around business as usual. This is terribly important. And to think about the impact of what went wrong. For a fund like CalPERS, the difference in that financial crisis was dropping from 75 cents on the dollar being paid to pensions out of investment returns down to about 63%. And when we're looking at how important it is that that money's there for people's, ordinary people's daily income, this isn't some technical debate for an ivory tower. It really affects ordinary people's lives and the performance of companies and their pension benefits security. So we think this work is extremely important. Part of the trick will be to make what's technical be a little more comprehensible, but we're very glad to be part of the debate, and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, and let me give you a very brief update since our last meeting. On May 4th, under the leadership of Acting Chairman Dan Gelter, the board has taken up, in close cooperation with the SEC, a number of recommendations made by you, the Investor Advisory Group, at that time. You asked that the board redouble its efforts to obtain access to foreign registered accounting firms for the purpose of conducting inspections. And in January, our efforts resulted in a cooperative agreement with the United Kingdom. You also asked the board to consider providing investors with the names of issuer clients of PCOB-registered firms in jurisdictions where the PCOB is denied access to conduct inspections. And on May 18, 2010, the PCOB published such a list on its website. You wanted the board to issue timely guidance on hot issues for auditors and boards of directors, and since the May meeting, the board and its staff have published two staff audit alerts, one on the principal auditor's use of the work of foreign auditors, particularly in the China region, and one on the audit implications of breakdowns in the mortgage foreclosure process. In addition, the board adopted 8 new auditing standards, proposed an additional auditing standard, issued a concept release on the failure to supervise provision of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, and proposed 2 rules related to our new authority over audits of brokers and dealers. You asked that the board study and report on lessons learned from the financial crisis, and in September of last year, we published such a report, our 4010 report on the lessons learned from the economic crisis, and we will continue that discussion today. And you asked us to consider whether there should be changes to the auditor's report. And under Dan's leadership and that of our chief auditor, Marty Bauman, we have begun that effort in earnest. And in fact, as shown in the standard-setting agenda found on our website, Chairman Doty, Marty and his staff are planning to update the board on the results of their research by the end of this month, issue a concept release for public comment sometime during the second quarter, hold a roundtable during the third quarter, and issue a proposed standard during the first quarter of 2012. So clearly, the recommendations of this group have made a difference and helped the board to establish our priorities. That is also why the specific topics that will be discussed today have been identified by the advisory group members rather than by the PCAOB. These topics go directly to maintaining investor confidence in the reports issued by the PCAOB registered auditors, and we will be considering them in the following order. First, the auditor's report and the role of the auditor. Second, the lessons learned from the financial crisis. And third, the global networks and audit firm governance. These issues are particularly topical in light of the current debate taking place internationally, as Ann, you referred. The current debate started in 2008 with the deliberations and recommendations of the United States Treasury Advisory Committee on the auditing profession, with many of the issues being carried into subsequent studies and reports, such as the European Commission's Green Paper and the Financial Reporting Council's report on enhancing corporate reporting and audits. What virtually all parties to the debate agree upon is that the status quo is not an option for the auditing world. These identical words, quote, "the status quo is not an option," have been used both by leaders of the accounting and audit profession here in the United States and Michael Barnier, the Commissioner for the Internal Market and Services at the European Commission. Each discussion today will begin with a presentation by the working group that has been researching and considering the topic. After the presentation, the working group will lead a discussion among all investor advisory group members. As I mentioned, unlike board meetings with other advisory groups, this group developed these discussion topics, not the PCAOB staff, and as such, the members will present each topic. At the end of the day, there will be an opportunity for each member to bring up additional topics or issues that were not discussed during one of the day's panels. Also, I would like to note that today's meeting is being webcast. Since we would like the open discussions to be informal and free-flowing, please do not feel as though you have to be recognized to speak. We would ask, however, that for the benefit of those listening to the webcast and for the transcript, you identify yourself the first time you speak and periodically throughout the day. This meeting is open to the public, and information connected with the working group's presentations will be posted on the board's website. Now, to start the program, and knowing that some may be in and out during the course of the day, I would ask Barbara Roper and Lynn Turner to outline very briefly, taking 5 minutes or so, the topics they will be discussing later in the session. And then we go to the full presentation of the panel on the audit report. But before doing that, I will also want to recognize Damon Silvers for 3 minutes or so, because I know, Damon, you got an engagement at the White House this morning, and you'll be testifying this afternoon on the Hill. So we want to give you a little bit of time to give the overlay of what you would have to say. So with that, Barbara, why don't you open it up?
Great. See, thanks to Brandon, I'm feeling better already. My working group was devoted to the lessons learned from the financial crisis. And if we had indeed focused on lessons learned as opposed to lessons that should have been learned, we'd have had a very narrow mandate indeed. Because 2.5 years after dozens of the world's leading financial institutions failed or were prevented by failure from failing only by dint of a massive government intervention, we actually know very little about why these institutions failed without a hint on the financial statements that anything might be wrong. Congress did not deal with these issues when it adopted the legislation and had the Dodd-Frank Act debate, which is probably just as well, because to the degree that they paid any attention to these issues, it was to undermine the independence of the accounting standard-setting process and to weaken protections against fraud at small public companies. The FCIC, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission report, does actually have a fair amount of very interesting information in it that deals with the lack of transparency on financial institution balance sheets. But it is focused more on problems with the financial reporting by these institutions than on the auditor's role in that financial reporting. And as Steve indicated, the PCAOB has done some initial and very useful study of some of the problems that occurred with audits that may have contributed to those failures, but it has looked more at, you know, sort of a broad look at what went wrong rather than a focused look at why they went wrong, why things went wrong, and what we might want to do about it. So we haven't seen in this area of the financial reporting and the audits of these financial institutions the kind of detailed accounting that we would like to see of why the auditors, frankly, failed so miserably to fulfill their public watchdog function. You know, nearly a decade ago, Congress passed sweeping legislation, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, that was supposed to solve this problem. You know, it was supposed to make auditors more independent. It was supposed to make them more responsive to shareholders. It was supposed to raise the standards of the audits. It was supposed to hold auditors accountable for doing better audits. It was supposed to fix the very problems that we've just been dealing with in the financial crisis. And so, as I say, the question that we have is, why? You know, why, after all of that effort went into reforming this process, are we still back in a situation where financial statements told investors nothing that they wanted to know about the true health of these financial institutions, and where auditors have shown every sign in this crisis that they continue to view themselves as working for management, and that they continue to see their job as finding a way to get comfortable with management's numbers rather than ensuring that shareholders, investors, get a full and fair picture of the financial state of the public companies. You know, auditors tell us that this is an expectations gap. Investors ask, if this is really the best we can expect, is the audit even relevant anymore? So as I say, our group focused on this question of the need to get a better sense of what went wrong in the crisis. There are doubtless many answers to that, and the EU and UK have started to look at some detail about at those issues. But in this country, at least, so far, we have not seen that kind of detailed examination. And so our first recommendation to the board is that it really needs to undertake this job. It needs to conduct a detailed, transparent, in-depth examination of the role of auditors in the financial crisis, and that needs to look at what went wrong with the audits of these major financial institutions, why the problems occurred, and what can and should be done about it. And, you know, we have ideas about some of the areas that the board would look at, but rather than sort of predetermine what that study should look at, we think it really needs to be thought through in a fairly comprehensive way as we go forward. And then beyond that, you know, that's sort of for where we are now, but we also think this is a process that the board needs to institutionalize. In other words, this examination of audit failures needs to be something that the board does on an ongoing basis in the future, so that you create a process in which you have a very timely mechanism for looking at where the weaknesses in the system are and correcting them. So that, in a nutshell, is our